I'm just going to get to the point. PowerPoint. Let's take a closer look.
Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I am your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And today, this is a bit of a supplement. I'm shifting things around a little bit. I'm thinking of this as a continuation of Workshop Wednesday, though I do think it's an important topic overall, because there are two things that I'm working on once I manage to get back here into the office after my debate and presentations that I gave up in Minneapolis and before the big conference coming up here in San Diego for Catholic Answers. So now that my debate with Dan Barker is done, and what's hard is when I have debates like the day or two leading up to it, I can't work on anything else because I feel like I'm losing time. I always think like, oh, wait, I could tweak this in my opening statement, or, oh, wait, I should add this in the rebuttal, or, oh, I need to look into this because what if this argument gets brought up? And what happens to me whenever I do these things is I always end up over-preparing. You know, I always think that my opponent's going to throw all of these, you know, arcane technical things at me. And this happens on radio shows too. I'll prepare for these really technical, obscure things, and then they don't come up. But I mean, learning is learning, and that's always fine too. So I've had to push to the back burner projects that I've been working on here at Catholic Answers. And now that the debate is over, because I was kind of consuming my previous week, I can move on to other things. One of them being my presentation at the conference this year. So I'm giving a talk on science and brain and the mind. Do we have free will? Are we just minds? What does it mean to be male or female? Talking about the human person and scientific challenges to Christian anthropology. So anthropology is not a store with a bunch of clothes girls like or something like that. I don't know much about anthropology. I know that Mindy Kaling makes a joke about it in the office at one point, but otherwise, no, anthropology is a study of man, what makes humanity, civilizations, what does it mean to be human, your culture, your society. So anthropology is often studied from a very incorrect perspective in universities. For example, saying that one culture is worse than another culture, that one culture, if they practice foot binding or female genital mutilation, or they throw widows on top of funeral pyres so that they're burnt alive with their dead husbands. If you criticize those other cultures, you've committed the cardinal sin of ethnocentrism, the idea of saying that your culture is better than every other culture. Although ironically, people who believe ethnocentrism is wrong, I'm sure they think that a culture that does not practice ethnocentrism or impose its views on others is better than a culture that does. So you can't escape the logical contradictions there. So my presentation will be on scientific challenges to Christian anthropology, especially in the area of the mind and the area of free will. And like I did last year, I will have a PowerPoint presentation. Normally, when I go out and give talks, I go out and give talks two or three times a month, all over the country, all over the world. I very rarely use PowerPoint because I don't see the need for it. I'm a very old school kind of presenter. I like telling stories. I like walking around. I like connecting with the audience. I like having fun, I like being a little eccentric. And I think in general, PowerPoint is one of the worst things that has been invented when it comes to public speaking. I have a whole laundry list of reasons to accompany it. But right now, I am going to offer a PowerPoint at the conference for a specific reason. I've got a very large audience there. I have a longer talk that I'm doing. And there's some technical elements of the talk. And so PowerPoint can help illustrate either technical points or there are videos that I want to show that underscore the point that I am making. And so that makes the presentation a lot of fun. I think it worked well last year when I did my presentation on the Reformation and on the doctrine of justification and how it relates to St. Paul and what Protestants said and on purgatory and things like that. So I'm digging up the PowerPoint template again, though I've been told we now have an official template for Catholic Answers. You got to stick with our good old blue, white, and orange. We're the orange, white, and blue here at Catholic Answers. Those are our standard colors, and we have a standard font. And I get that. They want things to be uniform, and I'm fine with that. So I have to take my presentation and just switch it over and copy it over into a different template. But it got me thinking, it might be nice on this show to share with you about the issue of PowerPoint and visual aids and some tips for presenting, because many of you listening might be involved in public presenting in some form. Maybe you might volunteer for a religious education class, RCIA. youth ministry, Knights of Columbus, whatever it may be. Maybe you might be asked to even give a short address to a homeschool co-op or something like that. You might find yourself or your children might find themselves in a position where they have to give a public speech or a public address on something related to the faith or something else. So what should you do in those situations? A lot of people are tempted now to use PowerPoint or Keynote when they do that. And that's why when I see a presenter get up and they use PowerPoint, I usually fear for the worst. Because here's the thing, PowerPoint has given a license for a lot of people to go out and do public speaking who absolutely should not be doing public speaking, at least with how they are practicing it. And this is, I mean, if you work in particular industries, whether it's, it could be any kind of industry, there's going to be that meeting and someone's going to get up, because you might not have to give a talk at your church to be a public speaker. You might just have to give a department meeting or a presentation to other people at your company. And you think, oh, we got to give a presentation. Let's put it all on PowerPoint. That way I'm not going to miss anything. It's easy to follow. Oh, it's awful. PowerPoint is supposed to be a tool to help you give a good presentation, not be a crutch that turns into the entire presentation. So if you're thinking about using PowerPoint for an upcoming presentation, whether it's religious, non-sectarian, whatever it is, here's some points I want you to keep in mind. This is an article from the Visual Communication Guy. It was written a few years ago, but I like this list, actually, what he has for the top 12 most annoying PowerPoint presentation mistakes if you have to use PowerPoint. Now, I would encourage you not to, actually. If you can do it, if you can make your talk, and I'll do a separate podcast just on public speaking tips, I think. But just very general, here's an easy format to follow. If you're going to do a talk, it's got a beginning, middle, and an end. The most important parts of the talk are the beginning and the end. That's what people remember. Try to follow the tell 'em rule. At the beginning, tell them what you're going to tell them. In the middle, tell it to them. Usually have 3 points. Even tell them, I'm going to cover 3 points or 5 points, so they know what progress you're making in the talk. Finally, at the end of the talk, tell them what you told them. If you can, have a good story that provides a narrative thread that runs through. Maybe the story starts at the beginning and you revisit it at the end. Or just have a series of stories through your talk that are easy to weave through, because people love hearing stories way more than statistics. We are wired to hear stories. We like it. So just try to do that. But if you have to use PowerPoint, and I use it, I'm going to use it at the conference. Use it only for things that you can't do with the spoken word, like showing a relevant picture, a relevant video, a diagram that explains what you're talking about. So let me look at some of these annoying PowerPoint mistakes. Number one, too much text, even in bullets. I have sat through presentations where someone puts their, they take their Word document and they put the whole thing in PowerPoint and they read it to people off the PowerPoint. And it is awful. Oh, it is just painful. I know someone once who went and did that for a fundraising meeting, and the donor said, okay, this meeting is done. After about 5 minutes of that, he said, send me your PowerPoint in an email. I'll consider it later. And he walked out. And I do not blame him one bit that he did that, because it's a colossal waste of time. If you need to send me written text, send it in an email. Don't put it all in a PowerPoint presentation. Even if you try to summarize it with bullet points, try to keep them short. Try to keep them as short as you can, not cluttering up the screen. If you have to include a large quote, and sometimes I do that in my presentations, there's a large quote that I cannot condense. Don't try to fit it all on one slide. Cut the quote in half and put it on 2 slides so it doesn't look like it's overwhelming the screen. And then bold the important words in the quote. So some people don't want to read the whole quote. They might just jump to the bold words, and then they'll get the idea of what you're talking about. Number two, bad contrast. Don't do light font on light backgrounds, like yellow on white. That's just going to make people squint their eyes. Or like purple on black. It's like, well, what does it even say up there? I mean, look at it for a minute. If you might know what it means, but if no one's ever heard the presentation before, you don't want them struggling. I'm also a big fan. I mean, this can work. You can use a white background and just black text. I mean, worst comes to worst, do that. You can't go wrong. But I don't find that to be helpful with PowerPoint or Keynote, because when I stare at a white screen with dark text on it for a long time, my eyes start to hurt because the screen just kind of turns into a big white light. And it's like I'm staring at a light bulb for a long time, and I just don't really like that. It strains my eyes. So when I do presentations, I prefer a dark background with a very light font. Not true white font, but maybe just slightly off color, like 5% gray or, you know, something like that. Number three, staring at the screen. This is the other one. You click through the screen. And this shows, by the way, a lot of people use PowerPoint so they don't have to practice. If you have a PowerPoint presentation, you must practice your presentation. If you do not practice it, it will come off really bad. Because otherwise, why are you up there? I can read. You don't even have to say anything. If the slides are all that matters, just let people read and click through the slides every 2 minutes and then sit down. No one needs you to read it for them. I mean, provided that they know how to read. So don't just be up there staring at the screen. The PowerPoint should be a tool that facilitates what you're talking about. Now, there's different environments where this will change and be modified. Like my recent debate with Dan Barker, I used a PowerPoint. And sometimes I was reading my arguments and they would be on the screen, but that was to help people follow very specific steps in a philosophical argument. I did not put everything I said up on the screen, and I tried to use a lot of pictures to make my point that were relevant. I'm going to talk about pictures a little bit later. Number four, standing in front of the screen. Right, because everybody wants to see your silhouette up on the screen. It's weird. It's distracting. Stand off to the side. When it comes to advancing your presentation, it's fine to have your computer in front of you. That can work just fine. Otherwise, what can be helpful, you don't want to stand off in the corner of the room if you're a slave to the computer. Get a remote for your laptop, a remote clicker. I think it's called a remote presenter tool, but I always called it a clicker. Everybody I know calls it a clicker. If you want to advance your PowerPoint slides without having to be a slave to your computer. And what's helpful here is if you're in front of an audience and you have your computer in front of you, you can see what slide is on the screen behind you. Use the remote clicker to advance it, and then you are unencumbered and you can engage with the audience. Number five, animating stuff just because you can. Don't put in, you know, the weird happy smiley face jumping around the screen. Don't bring back Clippy, the paperclip clip art from Microsoft Word. I see you're doing a PowerPoint presentation. Maybe you'd like some help with that. Clippy, I'm fine. I don't need help from you. It's just annoying, and it shouts, hey, I'm here to present. You know, you can use these kinds of weird animations if you are at the 30th annual anniversary of the GeoCities homepage, or if you're at a GeoCities early 1995 internet convention and you use these cheesy GIFs and animations. That works there. But otherwise, keep it professional, keep it moving. Number six, using pre-installed templates and fonts. Try to find a font that is easy to read. Sometimes things with serifs, the little edges on them, they can be a little bit harder to read sometimes. I think Arial works fine, Helvetica. But otherwise, serif fonts, you know, with the little, they look like little wings at the edges of the letters. Even like Palatino and Times New Roman, those work fine. Don't use crazy fonts. And for the love of goodness, for all that is good in the world, don't use Comic Sans. Please, I am begging you, don't do a presentation with Comic Sans. I don't know why that font exists. I mean, if you're making a PowerPoint to amuse a bunch of 6 or 7 year old children, maybe Comic Sans is okay. But please, please don't do that. Number seven, toggling in and out of PowerPoint. If you have a video, for example, don't leave it in a web browser so you have to go between your PowerPoint and your web browser and your other applications. Embed videos and embed pictures within the PowerPoint itself to keep things seamless. Number eight, using clip art. Don't use the pre-installed clip art. It looks like a GeoCities homepage. It's the revenge of 1995. It looks unprofessional. Pictures are great. You should use pictures. In fact, if you're going to use PowerPoint, try to focus, like, do the majority or at least half of it are pictures to make your point. And if you want to make sure to use the right pictures, I mean, a lot of context, whatever pictures you get should be fine. Ideally, the best standards practice is to use pictures you have permission to use. You got to be careful. If you're charging money for a talk, and you go out and give a PowerPoint and your PowerPoint has copyrighted images in it. Let's say your talk is recorded, it's put on YouTube. I mean, the odds are slim, but if you're making money off of a presentation especially, or you're just giving a presentation and it has copyrighted images in it, well, then you're can open up to copyright infringement, to fines or lawsuits. I've had people on our blog here have complained, we grabbed the wrong photo for a Catholic Answers magazine online article. We got to say, oh, well, sorry, we didn't know it was copyright protected. So try to go to websites where you can get free stock photos. Pexel, let's see, one is called, I think it's called Pixabay. Let's see, I think we have here. Yeah, it's, sorry, Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A, and then Pexels, P-E-X, LS.com, Pixabay.com, Pexels.com. Wikimedia Commons also has free photos you can use. So check those out if you want some more advice there. And so you can use free images. Number nine, freaking out when something doesn't work. If you're using a PowerPoint, be prepared for it to go dark. If you cannot give your presentation without your PowerPoint going dark, you are not ready to give your presentation. Something could go wrong. The projector bulb could go out. The blackout could occur. The computer could freeze. You've got to be ready to give a presentation even if your technology fails you. And if it fails you, don't freak out. Make the best of it and give an informal presentation related to the topic. I covered this, I guess, earlier. 10, using weird fonts. Please, please no Comic Sans. Number 11, putting important stuff by the edges. So don't fill up your screen too much. If it's near an edge, it could be the projector might cut it off and you might have a word cut off. Try to keep everything a little nice border around the edge of your slide. So keep your text kind of in the middle there. Keep the text legible. I try to make sure the font is at least 30-point font. Not little 12-point font, 18-point font. You don't want people squinting. If you need to use multiple slides, it's better to use big font on multiple slides than tiny font on one slide. And finally, number 12, don't use a bad color scheme. So make sure, like, look at the color wheel. Look at a color wheel. Blue and orange go together. Yellow and purple go together. But don't just use those colors. I recommend a dark background with a light font and maybe just another color to offset it there. So you can go online, look at a color wheel, or just Google colors that go together, graphic design. Then you can, put forward a good presentation. I tried to find this before the podcast. There's an article that was put in, it was on NPR, it was from 2014. It's called Physicists, Generals, and CEOs Agree, Ditch the PowerPoint. So I gave you tips on doing PowerPoint. But ultimately, I mean, in rare occasions, it can work. I'm using it this weekend. That's fine. But as a general practice, and it's a general practice for me when I give talks, I don't use PowerPoint. And hosts are glad. They say, hey, do you need the AV equipment for your talk? I say, nope, just give me a microphone. And if the microphone doesn't work, I have a pretty loud booming voice and I can get it to work. So when you get up there, if you don't have to use it, don't use it. And that's the goal. That this story on NPR is talking, it was talking then, 4 or 5 years ago, about how in the military, they're not using PowerPoint presentations anymore. Schools are shying away from it. Because here's the thing, you don't learn as much. Studies have shown that when someone says information and you read the exact same thing on a PowerPoint, you don't absorb as much information as if you had just heard the information straight from that person. And the PowerPoint keeps you and the audience and the speaker from having a more dynamic interaction and being able to interact with one another to get deeper into the content or to understand it. So just a general rule of thumb, try to go old school. Don't use a PowerPoint if you don't have to. If you need to use it, don't put words there. You have words there. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You remember the Rush Hour movies? That was Chris Tucker, Rush Hour movies. Use the words that are coming out of your mouth. And then for the PowerPoint, use things that you can't have come out of your mouth, like pictures, diagrams, videos, quotations, bullet points that are bolded to make the point, that you're trying to make. But I think even if you stay with the rule, I'm only going to use pictures with minimal captions, you will have a great tool to work with. And then you can start playing with bullet points, things like that, to have a good supplement. But remember, PowerPoint is a tool for presenters. it is not the presenter itself. Don't treat it that way. Because, hey, I know this might seem like, why is he making a big fuss about PowerPoint? What's the big deal? Well, look, if you especially are teaching people the faith, whether it's in a RE class, youth ministry, homeschool co-op, whatever it may be, you don't want kids to zone out. You don't want them to treat it as being boring. Our faith should never be boring. We shouldn't present it to people in a pedantic or frustrating way. And so that's why we as presenters, as teachers, should always be open to criticism. I'm open to it. I don't like it, but I'm open to it. Who likes criticism? Be open that to be able to grow as presenters, to share the gospel, and to find ways to do that that help people to really understand the truths that we are sharing with them. So thank you guys once again for joining me. Please pray for me. Tomorrow I am going to be giving my presentation at the conference. Pray the PowerPoint goes well. And if it fails, pray I can still give a good presentation nonetheless. By the way, I want to share with you just a little quick commercial here. I'm offering a pilgrimage this summer. If you want to walk in the footsteps of St. Paul with me and Father Hugh Barber, we're going to go to Greece, Ephesus, Patmos, where the disciple John, where John, the author of the book of Revelation, was sent to exile, Santorini, a beautiful Greek island. Walk in the footsteps of St. Paul this summer, May 2019, with me and Father Hugh Barber. It's a trip of a lifetime. You won't regret it. The website is Greece2019.com. That is Greece2019.com. I hope you guys will check it out. And I hope, of course, that you have a blessed day. And thanks for tuning in to Council of Trent.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.